Okay, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we are at the aquarium, and I have put several toys, several toy balls specifically, inside the octopus tank.
Bolas.
Bolas. Such a wise cup. Yes.
Such a wise ball. Bolas.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got balls, we got octopus.
Mm-hmm.
What more do we need?
A way to determine if this is a game. So what I have done is I have placed several different receptacles and labeled them. We're just going to watch this bad boy do what he... Oh, he inked.
Ah, gross.
Shit.
You think about ink as being like something that comes out of their body. It's like way grosser.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially like if you're familiar with like sushi and you know what that stuff tastes like. You know, just like, oh, yeah. that is basically pee.
Yeah, it's the urine of the sea. I can't do that ink.
Yeah.
You know? And then watching it come out, it's like I can't do it. Use a pen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All my tattoos are escaping. Like no part of this looks, you know, is not grossing me out.
Yeah.
But it's okay. We got an octopus and we got a ball. So we'll just assume and just do game and watch, right?
No, I mean, we just... Okay, wait, so it's kind of clearing. Oh, Gary, okay. Gary, the octopus is gone.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wait, there's a little note.
Is it out?
He wrote a note.
Okay.
He says, so long, suckers. You have underestimated us for too long. We have left to establish a new utopia. A newtopia. And then it says, later, boners. And then I'm going to try to pronounce this.
And he also, he left a bottle of Fruitopia.
Hmm. That's where he got the idea.
Yeah, that's kind of him.
That'll teach us to litter in the octopus tank.
How can we eat these beautiful creatures that enjoy orbits and Fruitopia? Like, if they have the, like, kind of sophistication to enjoy fruit-flavored drinks and drinks with solids, surely we can't make calamari.
Wait, do not tell them about bubble tea.
Yeah, well, I've been pouring boba into this tank.
Okay. Yeah,
for a while.
That explains the consistency.
It just keeps getting in its lungs. Doctor, I have lungs?
I think they're underwater creatures, so I think they have gills of some kind.
Gills instead, but yeah. Boba can still really fuck that up.
Yeah, it can clog them. It can clog the intake.
Yeah. So I think we might have created like a lawnmower man kind of thing.
Maybe.
Where we damage this octopus's brain enough to turn him into a super genius.
Yeah, he's adapted to a boba-rich atmosphere.
Yeah, he's like an American weeaboo. like the film.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and pop this note into the game computer while we split this Fruitopia.
It's mostly ink at this point.
Yeah, mostly ink and then like mixed tree. Like various seed. It's just kind of a fruit blend.
Yeah. The computer pulls back. There's a game for the TurboGrafx-16 called Newtopia.
Okay, it's one of those pet raising sims that people did online, right?
No. You're thinking of Insane Aquarium?
I think it had Neopets, I think.
Oh.
But isn't Newtopia, didn't you think it was like a Korean MMO? About raising pets. I did. For this whole time, up until it ran, I was like, okay, I'm going to raise some pets.
Yeah, I thought it would be like a European 80s sci-fi, like city builder kind of thing.
Mm.
Not what we got.
There's not one city in this game.
No. It's mostly a labyrinth that is not left. Fuck.
Frustrated that this has the topia suffix and yet there are no buildings.
Yeah. Maybe it is the process of the first game is the process of finding the newtopia and the second game is about the topia.
The second game is your dad disappears and you play as the son of this guy.
Mm. Son of Jerex or whatever his name is.
Yeah, son of Jalakalik. Al Jazeera. Who you play, and you play as his son, And that's it. Yeah, that's Newtopia. We did it.
Hooray. Who are you?
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, this is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad this is, but like it is, this does very little to justify its existence.
Yeah, so just first principles here. This is a Zelda clone, specifically a Zelda 1 clone that is done in kind of 16-bit graphics. The thing that was surprising to me was that this did come out in 1989. So it is a faster follow onto the original Zelda than I would have thought, specifically because it does look very similar to like a, you know, kind of like a lower fi Link to the Past with less taste. Yeah, so the thing, the tragedy that's at the heart of this, and I apologize for cutting to it so quick, the tragedy at the heart of this is that there exists in the world somebody for whom this is the OG, and Zelda is the weird thing that reminds them of this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I also think that the tragedy of it is that it, you know, it's not that fast to follow. It's 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, after Zelda 1, and it's like kind of looks a little bit like Link to the Past, but plays exactly like Zelda 1.
Yes.
You know, like it doesn't, there aren't a lot of gameplay concessions. So right. This is out of date, like when it came out.
Yes.
You know, pretty severely.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it came out. So it'd be like a secret, you know, if you made Super Mario World, but you could only run and jump, you know?
Right.
So I think that's sad too. Like the idea that this looks like it's going to be kind of sophisticated and maybe beat Zelda 3 to the punch and then, but just didn't punch.
No. And in fact, was just kind of like, yeah, we were all disappointed by how different Zelda 2 was. So why don't we give more of the same? It's kind of ridiculous that it's kind of ridiculous how much worse this is too, specifically just by dint of the fact that they added the visual complication by making your character bigger, but by still having him do the awkward thrust stab.
He's still got a very short sword.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, it just hits stuff that's like in front of you. So the collision detection is just all out of whack.
Only when you're facing up, but like if you're facing up, it's extremely bad.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you are like two Zelda heights or like Link heights.
Yeah.
But your hitbox, so it's three quarters overview.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically something could be behind you.
Yeah.
And it can't in this. So like equivalently, like if you're facing up, if something gets within a couple feet of you, it hurts you.
Right.
You know, if this were the real world, once it over your head overlaps with it, like once the sprite overlaps with it.
Yeah.
Then you do this kind of impressive like little jump back that made me like wonder if I was going to get jump boots or something, but it doesn't look like you do.
No.
During this, it has the capacity for it, but it just doesn't do it.
So this hypothetical person that we're talking about is the person who demanded this on our Patreon. This is Joey, who says, not really a bad game, but a shameless clone of the original Zelda. When I was a kid, my dad bought a TurboGrafx-16 and sold our NES. While I came to love the TG-16 and probably played it more than the SNES when we finally got one, it made me something of a pariah at school. Since all the other kids were either Nintendo or Sega kids, I was the lone NEC kid.
I remember
playing Newtopia while all the other kids at school were playing Link to the Past. I used to pretend this was Link to the Past, and for that reason, it sort of resides.
It resides
in a pathetic place in my memory. Although objectively, it's not an awful game. It just isn't Zelda.
Yeah, that's the part that makes it sad.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with TurboGrafx-16. I have more respect for TurboGrafx-16 kids than I do Sega kids. Like, cool. Offense intended. Like, it's at least,
as the person who is like infinitely praised the Genesis as weird PC-like games, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I like Genesis just fine.
Yeah.
I probably played more Genesis games, but like TurboGrafx-16, you know, that's weird.
Oh, yeah. It's and they came on little offbeat. We do things a little differently here. Our controller is unholdable garbage.
Yeah, our controller is really bad. It has a 1 and a 2 button, just to be different. I don't know a lot of like TurboGrafx-16 games. Like, I don't think that I've ever completed a TurboGrafx-16 game. Have you?
Oh, absolutely not. Really, my only exposure to the TurboGrafx-16 has been doing the handful of games that we've done for the show. Your Samurai Warriors and your Toilet Kids and whatnot.
Sure.
Yeah, and then like I seek them out when we go to the shows, just because I don't know. It's interesting to see old hardware like that, and that's how I know firsthand that the controller is garbage.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it is no FM Towns Marty.
I would like to. Now that, because this, it took a while to get this emulator running because of, partly because of the ROM crackdown.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, the Genesis game that always fools me into thinking that Crackdown for 360 is co-op when I look on Steam, but like because of the crackdown on ROMs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that I have it working, part of me is like, maybe I'll do like, what are the best TurboGrafx-16 games? Maybe I should play some TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
You know, just missed it. I had one for a little while before I moved here when I was kind of like collecting all the systems, but
right,
I never plugged it in.
Yeah. I don't know what the killer app is for the TG16.
It's like Rocket Knight.
Really?
Or like whatever. Not Rocket Knight. That's something Knight. Magic Knight. There's like a Knight game, and then there's like Bonk. And Bonk is like the killer app, I think.
Right, right.
Killer Bonk.
Killer Bonk.
Yeah. Bonk. Yeah. The encephalitic monster.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes to destroy dinosaurs, you know?
Part of the caveman craze.
Yeah, caveman crazies.
Mm.
Yeah, TurboGrafx-16. But this is very hard to talk about just because nothing happens in it. Like, you walk through, you go into, it's like so Zelda-y that it feels like a fan project.
Yeah.
To me, like, it was so devoid of its own personality. Like, I didn't get very far. I got to the beginning of the dungeon. Previous to that, it's like, you know, someone told me to bomb a wall. I bombed it and someone told me to get keys. And I'm like, oh, I understand keys are good. Like, this was not worth a bomb to know the keys are good. Like, it doesn't even have, like, Zelda 1 having the weird translation and being kind of earlier has a lot more kind of spark to it just because everything people says is kind of weird.
Yeah, it has that mystery that we talk about so much.
Yeah, this is very bland.
Yeah.
I found.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, maybe it's a lesson in how polish isn't always a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
Specifically in terms of kind of translation or guidance. This is a far more linear game. Like, so it's hard because, you know, not everybody is going to go and seek out like a YouTube video of this. Like, it's hard to encapsulate exactly how much of a carbon copy this is. Literally, you are in dungeons, you are fighting bats. There are torches that shoot little fireballs at you that you cannot destroy. And there are pig-like monsters that will throw spears at you. Like, it is as close as it could possibly be. It is so close that it is a wonder that there was no legal action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, imagine playing Zelda with Soul Blazer's, you know, graphic scheme.
Yep. Soul Blazer is a very good comparison, I think.
And even Soul Blazer was like a little boring, you know, on revisit. Like, it doesn't stand up super well. This is like Soul Blazer asked if like Soul Blazer had none of the cool Soul Blazer shit.
Right.
Like, you're not building towns, you don't have the monster layers, you're not getting, you know, power-ups.
Yeah.
In the field the same way.
Yeah, there's no kind of real variation in the biome from what I saw.
Yeah.
You know, like in Soul Blazer, you're like running around toy worlds and stuff like that.
Yeah. You
know, like there are different concepts and things.
Yeah, at least kind of interesting. Like, you shrink down.
Mm-hmm.
You went to that toy world, if I recall.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this just doesn't.
Right.
You know, Newtopia doesn't. Is a good
Newtopia,
like,
doesn't what Nintendo
like
does.
The TurboGrafx like print ad. It's just, you know, just like an angry teen with sunglasses with his arms crossed and just like, Newtopia doesn't. Like, what? It's just like an abstinence ad for Utopia. Yeah.
This ring means I'm committed to the TurboGrafx-16.
I am watching a boss fight. I'm skipping around in the long play.
Yeah.
I watched where he's fighting a centipede. And every time he hits the centipede, it's like its segments that he hits flies backwards, but the rest of the centipede doesn't.
Oh, wow.
And then the segments that he knocks off, like, slowly crawl back to rejoin with the centipede.
Huh.
Like, that's actually pretty creepy looking.
Yeah.
I take it back. This is great.
My understanding is it's not too long into the game that you end up getting like a fire rod, which makes a lot of the combat projectile based. which is interesting.
Yep. When like reviewers like that fire rod.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to, and I'm looking at the fire rod now and like essentially it sends out waves of flames.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't look that interesting, even though in the Wikipedia, some guy said it was like curiously fun to use or something.
Right. Right.
But it is one of those old reviews where, you know, people said shit like that. Like, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a projectile. Curiously fun to use.
What is the line? It stuck. I can't remember. It stuck out to me. Oh, maybe it was when the virtual console came out too. This might have been like a modern person.
Oh, I'm sure. I remember there was a line that was like, "Oh, like this is unlike anything Link has ever used."
Yeah, Adam Romano. The fire rod is especially fun to wield. Like I'm watching the fire rod, and like you click on it, and a little flame pops up in front of you, and then a little flame in front of that one, and then a little flame in front of that one. Like, oh, okay. You know, I don't know, man. Games can be so much.
Yeah
it's such a rich art form.
Yeah, it's okay to ask for more.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not, you're not gonna get cut off,
right?
You know, like these like Dickensian waifs who are at the orphanage asking for more fire rod. You know, like, please sir, might I have an ice rod? Perhaps it moves in a swiggle.
It is ever so cold.
May I have an ice rod ever so cold? Like, it moves in a wave-based pattern. You know, like Samus's beams. You know?
Do not like, come in here speaking of Samus to me.
You and your artful dodges will never make it out of the TurboGrafx 16 orphanage. Lisa. I sleep on a controller. It's not very comfortable. Dreadfully uncomfortable it is.
If you bother me anymore, I will send you to the Sega dumps.
You're going to get bonk. You're going to bonk your way to the Sega dumps if you keep doing that, my artful dodger. And to be subtle in the things you ask for. Like, try this. What if a caveman? There we go. Yeah. I also don't understand the TurboGrafx 16. Like, I know it had two different forms of media, but I also don't remember why.
Oh, though I think there were like either two different systems or one was an add-on. I'm revealing my ignorance here, but like, you know, when you go look at it, like in my big emulation suite, open email, it has like TG16 and then just TurboGrafx.
Yeah, I know. It was like there was like a combo system.
Yeah,
that had like backwards compatibility, which is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a thing, but I'm just curious. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm sure there are. I'm just curious as to what's worth playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I talked about that before, that like anxiety I feel sometimes of just like, oh, there's tons of systems out there that I just don't know nothing, and I'm sure there's cool stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been doing, you know, because of a personal project I've been doing, I have kind of gotten a little bit more acquainted with running stuff that I otherwise have not been able to run. Like, weirdly, I got like a Commodore 64 emulator to run. Like,
oh, cool.
I figured that out. I can mm-hmm. I can walk you through that, Gary. It's actually not that big of a bummer.
Oh, I haven't really tried it or anything, just lest anyone listening thinks that I was stymied by a Commodore 64 emulation.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. I just never really tried. I just kind of talked about how I should try.
Yeah. No, like I have been stymied by it before, but mostly because a lot of the emulators that I've found have been very faithful. Amiga emulation is my next hill to conquer, but like when I say it's very faithful, it's like there's an awful lot of bits and bobs and buttons, and there were so many different versions of that particular hardware that it's difficult to know exactly which combination of hardware switches to flip in order to get the thing that you want to run.
Yeah, and then that can be a bummer.
Yeah,
with that, like, it is, I do really feel like there's no reason for these not to be super simple, even with like emulating PS2 and stuff, like all of the BIOS nonsense you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, are we not, you know, far enough along technology wise where, like, I understand that's illegal for those. That's why they don't just allow you to download them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, this whole thing is in this weird gray market. I just feel like you could just, you know, you can maybe include them with the download, but there's nothing to stop it from just like pointing you to a page.
Yeah.
You know, like automatically, like when you try to, when my computer double clicks on a PS2 ROM,
mm-hmm.
why a PS2 emulator won't open up and point me to a web page that has the correct BIOS.
Yeah.
As opposed to like every time I have to do that, kind of searching around, trying to find the correct BIOS,
mm-hmm.
making sure it's in the folder. Every emulator has a different folder where it wants it. You know, and same thing even with just like ROMs. Like I can't with the PS2 emulator I use, I can't save unless the ISOs are in like a specific folder.
What?
And it just feels like those should be separate functions to me.
Yeah. What you the know? What the fuck emulator are you using?
There's a PCS 2X. It's weird. Some combination of those characters. Yeah, I don't know what order.
PC2SX or something like that. Yeah. That's very strange. I use that same emulator, but I don't have that issue.
I can play it just fine.
Yeah.
But if I want to save, it's like a different matter. So like, it's just, you know, and also though that also gets super choppy. Like, what was the thing we were talking about that we played recently for this show?
Oh,
Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like it went into weird slow motion, and I'm like, you gotta be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like technology. Get on it, technology. I am, before anyone says anything, I specifically understand this will make people mad, and I'm doing it to do so because I understand it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But I'm just baiting like two dozen insufferable tweets explaining why this is. That's difficult.
As long as you know that you are specifically,
like, I can't get off unless I'm being hurt, and this is me trying to do that.
Yell at me. Yeah. I mean, the answer would be, well, if it's so bad, get in there and fix it. This is all open, and like that's
it's yeah. It's not even like yell at me. It's like explain something to me, which is a lot. It's very similar. Like, you know, explain something to me, Daddy, is like the new hurt me, Daddy. So,
yeah. Oh, the TG16 had JJ and Jeff on it. I remember that. That's
we played some JJ, but we played that on virtual console.
Yes, so that is true.
Yeah, kind of a loophole. But yeah, it just seems like it should just kind of work.
Yeah,
you know, these are ancient computers. This is from you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah,
like or longer than that. You know, to paint like Newtopia from almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's almost as old as me. Yeah,
yeah. Just work.
Yeah. And you know? I'm frustrated by that ROM crackdown too. Like that.
Oh, well that seems to be
for basically no reason. Like literally nothing changed except somebody got a letter.
Yeah. And just spite. Like it's not going to stop anybody. All it does, like the way it would stop us from doing the immense amount of pirating we do for the show, mm-hmm. which we talked about. And it's like, it's not great, but also, you know, I'm not going to buy all these games just to play them for 15 minutes and, you know, joke about my ding dong, you know, that's not a good value proposition. So all it does is just make our jobs a little bit harder with the hope of annoying us out of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like is the best possible outcome.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then even this, like every time I've said something like, well, not every time, but many times where I've said something like that on Twitter to you, like, this sounds like I'm complaining about Twitter a lot. I'm not having Twitter problems, but like somebody has been like, well, it's in their rights. And I'm like, I don't know how many times people have to explain to you that the question of whether you can legally do something is separate from whether you should do it.
Right. Right.
Those are totally different issues. Like, you know, okay. Like, yes, it's in their rights. They do own the copyright.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine living like that where all you cared about was whether somebody had the legal right to do something. And that's the only metric you use to judge whether they should do it.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where that attitude comes from. You know, uncharitably, I would say that it is far easier to base your actions and your beliefs around what's legal than what's ethical. You know, just because it offloads a lot of the thinking and kind of concern and weight of that away from you. So you can just
into Hammurabi's human pocket.
Yeah.
You know, where you just get to like put it, but this isn't even about it being ethical. It's just like even practical.
Right. Right.
You know, like this is not something you can fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different, it's like a different, like weirder, more specifically made dumb by the internet version of the ought and can kind of thing.
Yes.
We're like, oh, because, you know, yeah, because it is because it is. There you go. Tautology. My job here is done.
Well, it's too big, and it's frustrating because you see kind of smaller companies like have the understanding of how to maneuver in this,
mm-hmm.
you know? So like you have like indie game companies, which not all, like, you know, they do suffer from piracy, and I'm not minimizing that, but you'll see them do things like, you know, let's offer a cool physical edition of this.
Yeah.
With like tchotchkes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's get this out onto platforms that are difficult to pirate for.
Yeah.
Like let's, you know, that's a good reason. I understand it's not easy to port something to Switch, but that's a good reason for people to do it because mm-hmm. they want to play it in that form.
Yeah.
You know, and then like sell a bunch of copies.
Yeah.
On that kind of thing. You know, like there are ways to kind of navigate that space of people being able to just download whatever they want to play.
Yeah.
And make me want to buy it.
Right.
And it's not Newtopia.
No.
You know, like I'm not like I've never like because of the show, like I was never going to buy you Newtopia. But even for the person who does want to buy Newtopia, like if they want to pirate Newtopia, they can pirate Newtopia.
Yeah.
Make this available to buy easily and then maybe they won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I think that specifically something that complicates this a little bit is the fact that Newtopia has been kind of widely re-released is the thing.
That's true.
As well. So like Virtual Console, and also I think that it pops up on PS3 for some weird reason.
Well, even the Virtual Console is like kind of no longer a thing.
Right, right. Rest in peace.
As well. Like, you know, like so that is part of it is like having a robust kind of system. And I understand that's not easy, et cetera. Like rights issues to navigate. You know, I follow Frank Cifaldi on Twitter. I read stuff. So like, right. I understand that, but like, it's just cracking down on emulation is the exact wrong thing to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, like even if you can't, even if you run up against the wall of like, oh, I can't get this to, you know, we can't get the rights and get this easily playable.
Mm-hmm.
Saying like making it just kind of slightly more of a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
To pirate is like not a good option.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's frustrating. It just like, well, all it does is drive me to increasingly shadier places. Like Emu Paradise was the place where I always ended up because mm-hmm. I knew,
it was great.
Yeah, I knew that stuff from that. I knew that stuff from that would work. And really the only annoyance was that fucking CAPTCHA that made you watch a little ad and then type in a phrase from the ad.
Buddy, I it's too late now, but to give you the hack, always just say trouble with our CAPTCHA. If you just click trouble with your CAPTCHA, you just bypass that every time.
What? Yeah. I have been trained away from that because trouble with our CAPTCHA almost always means I'm visually impaired. So give me the audio one and you have to listen to a you have to listen to a numbers station.
Yeah. you get some Fallout 3 environmental storytelling whenever you have trouble with a CAPTCHA.
Yeah.
The, in Emu Paradise, you know, God rest its soul. It just bypassed it. It just gave you a download link.
Yeah.
So which I think is very funny. Like just kind of like, okay, we need to make sure you're not a robot. Oh, you don't want to? Okay. And then that was it. And that's exactly the right attitude that you should have. Like that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know? Losing Emu Paradise sucks.
Yes.
It was good. And it is pointless and just not, you know, I just don't think it's going to accomplish what they want it to accomplish.
Yeah.
You know? Whether they have the right to do it or not.
At least we still have Vim's Lair for now.
Yeah. Yep. No. I thought about, and I was having a hard time emulating this.
Uh-huh.
There's all those websites, and I haven't liked them very much in the past, but I thought about moving to them because it took, you know, I played this for about 15 minutes, but it took conservatively like 3 minutes to get it, you know, and just doing one of those sites that allow you to play in your browser.
Uh-huh.
Because those haven't gone anywhere as far as I know. And those aren't great, but those, you know, maybe that's the way that the Intrepid Pirateers need to move.
You know? Possibly, but I mean that still has the problem of housing and serving the ROMs, which I think is part of the issue. Not necessarily.
Oh yeah, like people I'm not saying them. that is. I'm not saying that gets away from anything.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen. I that still popped up as an option.
Yeah.
For me, this I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's next on the chopping block.
Yeah.
So.
Oh well.
Yeah, it's fine. Like I said, somebody asked me on Curious Cat, like, was this going to affect the show? And it's like, yes, but only in making me a little bit crankier when we start playing.
Right, right.
You know, it's only going to make this a little bit more annoying. It's not going to stop us from doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep. It's weird because if you look at the trajectory that music took, music and movies, right, that they took for, you know, in relation to piracy, where you had Napster. And you had like Usenet sites and then it went mostly legitimate by saying like, okay, people want to download this. We can address that need by making it easier for people to buy it online. There's still piracy, among those things, but like that is a way, you know, where a lock will keep the majority of people honest. Like I am comfortable paying $4 to rent a movie for Adaptation Decay. Right.
Me
like
too.
That's I mean, $4 isn't nothing, but it's a little bit below kind of noticing for, you know, 2 hours of entertainment. Also, it's related to work. So we've kind of,
well, yeah,
we've moved beyond that with games, though, because there was a widely available
time where that was the case.
And then we decided, it's like that's too much trouble. So we're just going to go back to this now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer. Like I will rent stuff I would much rather rent a movie than torrent it.
Mm-hmm.
Because torrenting it means it's going to be on my computer forever. It takes a long time. I have to deal with torrent sites.
Yeah.
You know, I only want to watch it now.
Yeah.
You know, I fucking, you know, rented Mystery Men. I don't care. I know I need to own that on my computer. I was just kind of like, I remember liking this when I was young. Is this worth, you know, it's worth a couple bucks because I want to watch it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing you want to do now is worth a little bit more money than something you just want to hold onto your computer in case you ever want to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, moving back that way and thinking about music, right? Like the other two things about that is like, you know, switching that to like a streaming thing.
Yeah.
Like I have Apple Music and I like it a lot. It's $10 a month, which is not nothing. But it's, I very, very rarely do I run into something I can't get on there.
Yeah.
And just having that instead of a bunch of CDs is not a terrible value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I like that. And you look at how, bands, have operated in like the wake of, you know, the preponderance of piracy, which is, and this has always been a little bit true, but has only been more true, is they just kind of realize like, oh, we make our money through touring.
Oh yeah.
It's very similar to that, like indie game people providing a unique service.
Yeah.
You know, something you can't get through downloading. And that's such a, just like a better approach to it. Games is just stuck in the fucking fart zone where, you know, it's, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like, so Newtopia is a bad example of it. You know, the next thing we're going to record today, you know, is a good example of like, you know, I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check and see if that did that get re-released or not.
Oh, no, I assure you not. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great example of something like where it just, you know, let us fucking take it or give me like a street, you know, give me something I can pay for. Like I would also pay $10 a month for like an emulation, you know, certain past a certain age, games of a certain age,
mm-hmm.
as a library that's available to me.
Yeah, like a Marvel Unlimited kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like a Game Tap or not Game Tap. Whatever that thing was called.
Yeah, I think Game Tap.
Game Tap.
Yeah,
yeah. Like that's how I played Panzer Dragoon.
Uh huh.
Remember that was impossible to find, and they had it.
They, yeah. You know, just inexplicably, they had it in like an easy to run executable. Yeah.
Yeah, just ran the like that stuff was great. You know, so I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all soapboxy, but I'm pissed.
No, I mean it affects us, and people have asked us. It's not very funny. This hasn't been a particularly funny episode. I'm sorry, everybody.
No, to be fair, Newtopia doesn't have characters or setting.
Right, right.
So I don't know what we would talk about in this game as far as like all these things that Al Jazadzad does, you know, and all his character traits and stuff we were supposed to goof on. Like I don't.
Right.
Jazada.
Yeah, there's a little bit of game fact stuff. I thought this was very funny. The message board has, you know, it's a little bit busier than you would expect, but there's one topic that called out to me saying, why do people waste their time? This is by Frozen Hot Dog, who says, why waste your time making a game nobody's gonna play or care about?
That's
and that makes sense, especially when you have perfect knowledge of how people are going to receive your game. Why would you make it if you know it's going to turn out that people don't like it?
Yeah, especially in the fullness of history.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a cool thing to say. You know, however many years after this game came out.
So nine,
this guy said this in 2009.
Yeah,
9 years. So 20 years after it came out. Yeah.
Right.
You know, cool. Yeah, good job, Frozen Hot Dog.
Living your best life.
Did you see Slow Death's pack?
I did, and I made a note of it. I've seen Slow Death knocking around before. Slow Death's calling card is the very clunky ASCII art at the bottom.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Yeah,
it's like something that would pop up on a screen when somebody's computer got hacked in a TV show.
it's very much you downloaded a bad copy of Morath's World and just like just screens forever. It just says Slow Death, but it has a cool skull with a sword going through its head, which seems like a fast death. to me is Martin.
It could be like that one guy who got the railroad spike, Phineas Gage. It could be like a Phineas Gage kind of thing.
That was a slow death.
Yeah.
That's a titular slow death. But he also has email rules. Which I really like.
Oh yeah.
Which I always like that. And ICQ rules. So you can email him at slowdeath@iname.com. Include the name of the game or guide, the subject. Newtopia is enough. Email me almost anything. Questions on answering the guide, comments, praise, criticism, request, even additions to the guide. Ask me if you can use this guide. I almost certainly let you, as long as you ask politely. Don't email me crap. Don't ask me to join a website like All Advantage. It's very quaint. I've received way too many of these. Don't spend any less than 1 minute writing your email. Check it over and make sure you have used correct spelling, decent grammar, and capitalization. AOL slang is not up to my standards. Do not use RU instead of RU or anything like that. It gets on my nerves. If you do that thing where you capitalize every other letter, don't expect a response. ICQ rules. Do whatever you wish.
anything goes. It is Slow Death After Dark.
If I see, like, email, all business. ICQ, fucking party around the clock. Like, you know, he's got a real, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation going on with email and ICQ over here, which I really like.
Yeah.
You know, put my number on your spam list, tell it to your friends, flood it with whatever you want. So, like, I don't know. I don't, if I had ICQ, I could just, like, grab, like, Slow Death and just, like, turn that into a fucking deep web porn tour. I would probably enjoy dark webbing him some cum shots. Like, so.
Just mail him just individual, or yeah, send him individual frames of cum shots.
Yeah, I did individual pixels. You know, for him to put together, like, with just like coordinates. The worst ARG. But yeah, I particularly like that a little bit. This is good to game facts on the next thing we're recording today too.
Yes.
As I laughed out loud. So it's good. It's good that game facts are back.
Yeah.
I feel like we had, like, kind of a dearth.
A little, like, Lord. Yeah. Like Lord Dearth, the name of this guy. How hilarious is it that, like, they dispense with the entire story in the opening dialogue with the guy?
Yeah, yeah. They just kind of say his bad stuff's going on. Go out into this world without people or cities or an economy or anything and take care of it.
You know? Go out and save this void, please.
In watching the long play, too, in the background, one of the things that I think is really, really annoying about it is that every time you go, or not, like, it feels like every other room in the dungeon, you have to pull out your lamp out of the menu and use it to light things up.
That sucks.
That sucks. Like, this is a two-button controller. Yeah. Come on, folks. You don't get to do that. Yeah. Also, people's faces are weird in this. Like, they're a little too detailed. Like, did you notice the main character looks like this, like, little, it's like a little angry Link?
Yeah, he's like angry Kirby from the front of that one game. Like, he's mostly eyebrow.
Yeah, he's got two eyebrows going inwards.
Yeah, he's got Fleek.
Point downwards. Yeah, he's pissed on Fleek. I don't know if
I
used that right.
I think you did. So I try not to tell a lot of stories about my family on here, but Chris hasn't told it on his show, and I need to share it because my niece is fucking hilarious. They ride bikes a lot. And my niece is also really into, like, looking up YouTube tutorials for makeup, right? So she kind of dwells on her eyebrows quite a bit and styles her eyebrows. Like, she just is, you know, doing that because that's what kids do nowadays. So they're riding the bikes, and she's got her eyebrows on. It starts raining, and then she kind of gets real kind of, like, agitated, and she slams her hand under her face and says, "Oh no, my Fleek." as a joke.
Like, oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
like, that's very fun.
I need to protect my Fleek.
Yeah, the that's pretty cute.
Yeah
it's in Portland. The Navy comes in once a week, or not once a week.
Oh, shit. I was going to say they come in for Fleet Week. You mean
there's Fleet Week, but I always overhear it as Fleek Week, which I think is like super funny. Yeah. But it just means traffic is really bad. And my old gay coworker used to be like, make a lot of lewd comments about it. So it was, that was what that week meant.
That's gotta be fun.
It's not fun for me. No. I'm sure it's fun for somebody.
Yeah, I'm specifically thinking of your coworker, just kind of like, yeah, I'm just gonna go with it. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine there being, like, horny week, like, yeah, you know, just, and it existing for me. I don't even see sailors when that happens. I'm just not in the areas where they're at.
Right.
You know, like down at the docks, I guess. I don't know. Mm. I'm just not there. So I, it just means traffic's bad because the bridges are up all the time because they put the boats slowly come in over the course of a day.
And they've got the tall ships.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Hmm. I was on a bridge, and had to, like go back a little bit. Like it started beeping.
Oh,
on the thing, like it's going to go. And I had to like step back a couple steps cause I had just like stepped over the line.
Oh no.
And I had a real like, oh, this is going to be like Harry Crumb or whatever. And end up that happens. That's on the cover of Harry Crumb, right? Or no, he's hanging from the side of a building.
Yeah.
But you know, one of those things that,
It's in the Brazilian cover where they show Harry Crumb being torn in half by a drawbridge.
Yep. He's attached to two tow trucks, each with their back to him that are parked on either side of a bridge that's going up.
He investigated the wrong mob boss.
It's how giants make wishes. They pluck a Harry Crumb from the earth and then see who gets the side with more candy.
Yeah, that's where all the Harry Crumbs went.
Yeah, exactly. They all went into John's candy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think I think that's everything for Newtopia.
Newtopia. Goodbye, Newtopia. I hardly knew you. I'm good.
Literally a joke that was made in two different animated television shows, Futurama and BoJack Horseman.
They made Newtopia jokes?
Yeah. And in Futurama, there's a kind of like a space demon who erases everybody's gender to make them live genderless.
Okay.
Because he observes men and women are different, so they form a Newtopia. A sexless utopia for neuters, and everything works out until they realize, oh, fucking is fun. And then in BoJack Horseman, Jesse Pinkman's character, he is composing a sci-fi rock opera called Newtopia, the new utopia.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I thought about that as far as like neutertopia, and it sounds like a portmanteau of it, but I just also, didn't have any material on neutering.
Yeah, it's not like you've recently come into possession of a creature that has or will soon need to lose his balls.
He lost his balls the day before I got him.
Mm.
And he has this big so Rory's, when he had his balls taken and before I got him as well, like it had healed so much that Rory's like essentially did not have external genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a butthole and it was great. And Pocket, however, still has a visible ding dong and like a big gnarly scar.
Mm.
Where he had his balls once.
Yeah.
I can only hope that's like swelling and it's going to go down.
Right.
I cannot handle him just having this like, look, we joke about this. It looks like he sat in some gum. Like it's like all the time. Like just like buddy. And also that happened again the day before I got him. So like what a rough 24 hours.
Hmm.
For him, like he had like such a rough like few days, like where it's like I got him, I took him home, he got real sick, I took him to the vet, they drew his blood, cut off his balls right beforehand, like he had to do multiple car trips, like
yeah,
a very traumatic thing. But now he's a demon, so now I'm okay with that because it just was prevenge on the things he was gonna from waking me up at 6:30 every morning for the last days. So yeah, he's great. He's a demon.
I'm a demon.
He's a demon. I love him, and he's resting right now to do demonly things later. He's got some demon plans. He's gonna puff up his tail, he's gonna run back and forth, he's gonna attempt to like jump into the toilet while I'm sitting on it. And like for astute observers, like I'm a big guy, there's not a whole lot of room to get into that toilet that doesn't go like directly past my ding dong. He's gonna fucking Indiana Jones swing into the toilet on it. And then he's jumping into his litter box like he's like really excited, but it's just because he just he doesn't do anything, like he's excited about everything,
right,
you know. And I'm just like, man, that's a toilet, like he just jumped into that like it's a fucking kiddie pool, like you have to stop that. Can't do that. I'm your friend, I'm not gonna let you do this, like buddy. So he's good, but no longer has balls.
Yeah,
so thus he's living in a Newtopia.
So thank you to Joey for suggesting this. I had no idea this existed. And
I still don't. It's weird.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for reminding me that the TG-16 exists. Hey, Gary, I know what you're going to play. The next thing you're going to play on your TurboGrafx-16, it's a CD game, so it might be a bit of a problem. Beyond Shadowgate.
Oh yeah, I actually read up a lot about that. I forgot about that bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be pretty interesting. More interesting than Shadowgate 64, I want to say,
Yeah.
in the Shadowgate series of games. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. I think that's also not supposed to be very good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, well.
The yeah, still that's still interesting though. There's definitely some interesting stuff. If you know cool Nintendo 64 or no, I don't care about cool Nintendo 64 games. Cool TurboGrafx 16 games. Hit
Have
us
you
up.
heard of Rocket Robot on Wheels?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So send that stuff into, suggest that stuff now that the emulator's running. So I want to play more of these weirdos.
But thank you for listening. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. For $5 a month, you get two extra episodes of this show in particular. If I can say so, if I can engage in some bragging, I think that those premium episodes have been really on point recently.
It's a little bit like there's a mild element of like chance to those.
Yeah.
Like I think the show is very like mood dependent.
Yes.
Like not just subject dependent, but also just like, are we in a good mood? Did we get enough sleep? Are we both well caffeinated? Do either of us have like, our persistent crippling diarrhea? Like what condition are we? It's very The Sims. Like this show is the most, I feel like even if we're in a bad mood, we can knock out a good WoF because there's so much to talk about. This is very much like when the Sims go to work. Make sure all your meters are up. And sometimes not all our meters are up. And I think our meters have been up the last couple of those premium episodes we've done. So, yeah.
So go check those out. If you cannot swing the $5 a month, I understand. Consider giving less, or go to duckfeed.tv/store where you can get those extra episodes a la carte, after a delay of being Patreon exclusive.
Pick and choose your faves.
Or buy a whole season.
Or yeah, get the season for cheap. And if you want to know which ones are good to start with, head on over to that Patreon that we have if you are in there. I guess the $5 a month you already have a Patreon or you already have the episodes. But for old episodes, you can talk to people on Patreon and ask them which episodes are worth getting.
I
Yeah,
think
and then ratings, reviews, telling your friends.
all that
All
stuff.
useful. Super, super useful. Until next time, who is Who Dog? Like, who's maybe going for bland, but I don't know if that new dog. New Dog would be the easier one, I guess.
Who was New Dog? Any you dog? Who was New Dog?